Two burgers.
Hopefully.
Hmm.
Is there anybody that signed up to
Stop.
speak? Okay. All right. I call this meeting of the City Council to order. Please rise, remove caps, silence phones, and join us in saying the Pledge of Allegiance. I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the Republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all. Amanda, would you call the roll?
Burns?
Here.
Brinson?
Here.
Moore?
Here.
Rangel?
Here.
Peter? Thunder, here. Sorry. And Youngquist.
You said here?
Yeah. Yes.
Yeah.
Here. Okay. All right. Thank you very much. Now, I will call for approval of the agenda. We do have one change, and that is to remove Atwood Energy from the special presentation. He is going to come to the meeting on the 19th. He wasn't feeling well. So with that amendment, I'd call for approval of the agenda. Thanks, Bethany.
Second.
I heard Elaine first. All those in favor say aye.
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 Oh, sorry, I'm going to have to learn to wait for you, Evan. Opposed, same sign. Okay, all right, we got an agenda. We have several items on the consent agenda. Did anyone have any questions about any of these?
Number three,
okay. Do you want to put it for separate consideration?
Or just
want to ask a question?
You just want to ask a question.
Okay.
Is this the current wellness concession stand?
Yeah, so
the next one.
It's the next one. Yeah, okay. The one that we're working on. And we're working with them so that they will help us design the building and put the specs and stuff together to go out for bids.
And this is pretty close to the soccer field?
Yes.
Okay. That's what I expected, but I didn't have a chance to give you a call.
Yes.
Okay. Any other questions?
I'll make the motion we approve consent items numbers 1 through 10.
Second.
Okay, thank you, Bethany. Thanks, Fran. All those in favor say aye.
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 Same sign. Thank you. Next is a special event request from the Washington County Hospital. And is Emmy here?
She's
or
online.
There she is.
I'm here.
You have your information in the packet. Do you want to highlight anything else or talk about it briefly?
Yeah, so I'm here to request the use of Central Park in like lane closures for Kids Fest of 2024. It's going to be on Friday, May 17th from 4:30 to 7:30. We'll be doing the same thing that we do every year. On Thursday, May 16th, we'll block off the parking spaces that are curbside of Central Park at 8 p.m. And this will just help us for setup on Friday. And then on Friday, May 17th at noon, we're requesting to expand the parking and traffic restrictions by closing off the inner most traffic lane in the inner row of the center parking around the Central Park. This will leave the square with one driving lane and curb parking and the middle parking closest to the businesses as well. We will notify the businesses and all the residents of these closings a week before. And then once approved, we'll talk to the parks and the recreation department about getting barricades and cones.
Okay, very good. Anybody have any questions?
Make motion we accept this.
Okay, thank you, Elaine.
Okay.
Second from Fran. All right, all those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed, same sign. Okay, great. You've got an event. It's always been
thank
very
you.
Successful and well attended. So, and
yes.
So thank you.
Thanks.
Okay, next is the nuisance report. Hello, welcome.
Yeah, Anna? Yeah, but can you guys hear me?
Is the mic on?
I think I can talk loudly enough even without it. So,
okay.
So in the past month, we've had a total of 33 nuisances. And according to your guys' packet, I'll say that 9 are closed and 24 are open. As of today, it's been updated to the point where 17 are closed and there are currently 16 open. One of the bigger issues we had was residents parking either on grass or having unlicensed vehicles, which we are still working on getting those things fixed. Outside of that, any questions or concerns?
Well, I see you have some that are closed where they have junk cars. Did that mean they removed them?
Either in terms of that, that would be if they were unlicensed, they're either now licensed or off the property. But yes.
Okay. Very good. Any questions?
It's a good evening.
Okay. Thank you very much. Thanks for being here. Next is a mayoral appointment to the Hotel Motel Tax Committee. And actually, this appointment is to fill out a term for someone that resigned. And this term is expiring in this coming June of 24. Hopefully, this person who is completing that term will also be willing to be appointed again. This is Leslie Allender. I'm sure a lot of you know her. So, what are your wishes?
I'll make a motion that we appoint her.
Okay, thanks, Elaine. Second from Bethany. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed, same sign. Okay, sorry, Ivan, I got to remember to wait for you. Okay, presentation from the public. Did anyone sign up to speak? Or
no, they did not.
Okay, all right. Thank you. Does anybody here have anything they'd like to comment on? Now's your chance. Okay, some of you are going to be speaking later on in the meeting, so thank you for being here. So nothing for that presentation from the public. Claims and financials, Kelsey, you're on.
I'll start with claims. I did receive quite a few ahead of time. The under police for the impact 7G is asbestos review for 619 North 6 for $1,780. There's a little brick building that the police use for evidence storage prior to having actual storage here. And that building is falling apart. So we had to do the asbestos review before we can get that part down. Let's see, under parks, under Fife Electric or renovations, there was a claim for $2,226, and that included some outlet work for the outside of the bandstand so that food trucks could plug in without leaving the bandstand locked. A couple on, or one on a light pole, and then some stuff out at the wellness park. They were tripping the breakers every time they were plugging stuff in at the concession stand. So those are taken care of now. Also, the new Dawn restroom door, that's a mix between age with rust and vandalism. They just couldn't repair that any longer. So we just support that. Under Hotel Motel, the snow mailer, that committee approved to pay for the Main Street Washington fire about the snow event that they have that went out. And lastly, a question on how many meters were ordered for the $36,000, $35,000, and that was 144. And I think that's all questions I received ahead of time. Are there any other questions?
Anything else? All right.
Next, the motion to approve claims.
Okay. Group of claims?
Group of claims.
Okay. Who would like to second that?
Second.
All right. Thank you, Lila. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? Same sign. All right. Okay. October financials, Kelsey.
Right. So 4 months into the year for October, total treasury tax investments increased from the end of September by $1,223,042. That gives a current balance of $10,810,340. We are at a budget Sorry, I didn't print out my normal thing, so I'm trying to like read through my email. I was not prepared, so I apologize. The general fund balance increased by $943,368 to a total balance of $1,257,565, and that's due to receipt of the first half of our property taxes. Our expenses are ahead of budget by $262,897 due to three payrolls in September, work comp insurance, general insurance, payments to outside entities, and staff development. For the airport, our revenues are ahead of budget by $64,711 due to fuel revenue, and our expenses are ahead of budget by $66,860 due to fuel expense, ground maintenance, and general insurance. Road use is ahead of budget for road use taxes, and also ahead of budget for revenue, or excuse me, for expenses for the wages and benefits, vehicle operations, contractual services, signs, mechanic supplies, street maintenance, and sealed boat program. The water fund is ahead of budget for revenue by $71,589 due to charges for services. And expenses are behind budget by $106,470. Distribution is behind budget by $12,629 for expenses, although contractual services and minor equipment are over budget. The sewer fund is ahead of budget by $34,703 due to charges for services, with expenses under budget by $220,650, with the exception of general insurance, engineering, and tech services. And lastly, sewer collection is behind budget by $52,992 due to, with the exception of the wages and benefits, contractual services, and safety supplies. I did receive a question ahead of time about the balance in the Wellness Park Fund. It's -195, I believe. And that is due to the expense of the Wellness Park Playground. It's almost entirely funded by grants. And so we're waiting on the Riverboat funding, and there's a couple of grants that we're paying over several years. So that'll be, it won't be negative forever. We'll have to transfer some balance in there to keep it positive. But for now, that's where we're sitting. Are there any other questions about financials?
Any other questions? All right. Motion?
Yes. Motion to approve.
Okay. All right. Ella and Elaine, thank you. All those in favor say aye.
Uh-huh.
Aye. Opposed, same sign. All right. First, under new business is discussion and considerations for changes to cemetery fees and services. And we have Zach here. Welcome. Come on up. And you've got a letter here for us, and you can explain what your ideas are.
Yeah. So I think when we had the tour, I touched base. I don't believe you were able to make it. We touched base on the tent price. We currently charge $100. And I was looking at raising that, hoping to just offset the overtime and setting up the tent and taking the tent down and possibly help with the repairs to the tent. I think the tents today are somewhere around $8,000 to $10,000 for a new tent. So just an idea of helping us recoup the cost of the setup. And then I wanted to propose putting a time frame for Saturday funerals, Saturday services. And my reasoning for that is just for today. We've had funerals come in, 11:30 funerals that exit around 2:00. We're usually 2.5 to 3 hours early before the service, so we're set up and ready 100%. And so by the time the procession leaves and then we get to tear down and backfill, sometimes 2 hours. So it's hard to try to get somebody to come in and want to help for a Saturday service when I can't tell them, I don't know, you could be there till 6:30. You could, there's no end until the procession leaves. And with that, right now we have a $200 charge before noon, a $400 charge in the afternoon. I was suggesting simplifying that at a $300 Saturday rate with 1:00 exit for the funeral procession so that the caretaker should be done by 3 o'clock on the Saturday. And there is, I guess, I look at it as the funeral would exit by noon for the 2 o'clock charge, not arrive by noon. We have funeral directors that will show up at quarter till noon, and they've already had a check for 2 o'clock, and then they leave well after noon. So I thought I'd just eliminate the dual charge and have one Saturday charge and put a cap on an end so we can see an end. I was thinking going to 1 o'clock that we're still coming into the afternoon hours, and most Saturday services are revolving around a luncheon of some kind, that we're still providing the service and offering the time. That's it.
Okay. Some of you have thoughts, or?
It's touchy. The cemetery is the last place that you say goodbye. And it's hard. It's hard to say, well, gotta hurry up. You gotta get out of there. I don't know.
I understand that totally. I just look at it as my hours throughout the week are 7 to 3:30. And on a Saturday, there's nothing saying that.
Mm-hmm.
And then looking at it on a way to help control overtime
mm-hmm.
for the city and still provide the service.
Mm-hmm.
Have you talked to Marty or Mark about potentially changing
it? I've talked to him about the tent charge and possibly trying to find a solution for Saturdays, but I didn't go into depth with him about this.
I did not bring this forward
because I couldn't verify any of it. Nick had done some comparables with other municipal cemeteries mm-hmm. for charges and hours and a weekend if they're applicable or not. And I didn't put that together because it wasn't my work.
Mm-hmm.
Does this cover all your expenses? Your proposal?
Cover our expenses.
Does it cover the city expenses?
I'm hoping to just get closer to that because I don't think we touch it.
Yep.
Oh.
Just looking for a balance or an even.
Right. No, I totally understand that. I'm just trying, you're going to go in the middle, which is fine.
Go in the hole.
But I don't want us to go in the hole.
Yeah.
I don't want us to, you know, we have to pay overtime. I don't know if you can schedule a guy off during the week and he can work that Saturday or.
Well, there's just one of us.
Okay.
And it makes it tough to find somebody from MC to step in for Saturdays.
Okay.
I have been cross-training Mike, who's very interested in doing it. But it's hard to find help when you can't say, hey, you're out of here by a certain time. I don't know.
I've used everything in your
page. Each one's up to however
it is. Yeah.
You don't get a whole lot of lead time either, usually.
Right.
No. Right now, Saturdays, we're supposed to be told by Thursday
mm-hmm.
that we'd have a Saturday service so we could get it ready. And so then my plan was if I had anybody take care of a Saturday service or would have it prepared with a plan for parking and people coming through already laid out with the funeral directors and whoever's taking care of it, a complete plan so they're not in the middle of anything. It's cut and dry.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
I can go ahead, Devin.
You can go ahead.
Oh, I can see the tent set up.
Mm-hmm.
I think I would feel more comfortable if you ran this by Marty and the funeral directors, maybe, just to get their feel for, you know, how people would feel about it.
They have me there on Sunday as well.
Okay.
I just honestly feel they would have me on Sunday as well.
Oh, wow.
I mean, you know, I just, I don't know. I just wanted to find some way to make it balance.
Sure.
Have we explored with the funeral directors on these Saturdays and Sundays as partnering with, say, not exclusively, but say with a group like the Bean Boys and doing the setup and taking up the slack, since they already do Saturdays and Sundays have through the funeral home and not through the city, but allowing.
I guess I don't know. I don't have anything to do with how they bill or how they lay
out. Yeah, but I was wondering if that would help alleviate some of the stress on you for weekends.
Sure.
Have, you know, the funeral home's partner, maybe through, not just specific to the Bean Boys, but the Bean, I know they work on Saturdays and Sundays, but, you know, maybe through the funeral home, if knowing that there's only one of you, is there a way, have we discussed with the funeral directors that maybe we can give you some relief by using some of these other people, as long as the graves are marked or whatever?
And that, I think we're getting into a whole nother realm of budget stuff.
Yeah, well, it wouldn't be on us. I mean, it'd be the funeral directors taking care of it to help, and then we wouldn't be as much worrying about your.
Sure.
That's, as long as everything was taken care of. I mean, it's just a thought.
Mm-hmm.
I do think we need to meet with funeral directors, just give them a heads up before we do something. Not that I'm saying this is a bad idea,
mm-hmm, sure.
But I think we need to sit down and have a conversation with them, just mm-hmm. so that they're aware of it.
Then if it stays crazy. The same, could you put in print that they need to exit before noon to get it, the $200 charge? Because I mean, we have funerals that come in before noon. They already have a check wrote, and they're there well into the afternoon hour.
Mm-hmm.
I just don't feel there should be something in wording. Is it they mm-hmm. enter at that time or they exit at that time? So
yeah, and I totally understand where you're coming from. It kind of bothers me when you're in the middle of a funeral and you're, well, sorry, folks, you got to leave out, you know. That it's a really touchy area, and I don't know how to.
So we've never done that. I don't tell anybody to leave, but yeah. We already have on the book, if they're there after 4 o'clock,
yeah.
they'll get a $150 charge per hour
yep.
for any hour that they do stay.
So, mm-hmm. so yeah, so we'll have to. I don't know. There's some
which
delicate.
I can't charge that.
Yeah, there's still some delicate. I believe there's some delicate conversations that need to be had with the funeral directors before we make a decision. I'm not saying they're bad. This is bad. I just, it's just a really hard conversation to have with families. And I think we need to have some input. I don't know. How does everybody feel about that?
I think that we should at least have a conversation with them and see what makes sense to them and how they would communicate it to them. To people, and I think, but
I'm not moving forward with the tent charge.
Yeah,
proposal.
I would
have the funeral home.
Mm-hmm. I mean, I think that's fine. How long does it take to set up that thing?
Each service is different.
Oh.
There's, I mean, every spot in that yard is unique to itself,
mm-hmm.
yeah. and then depends on how hard the wind's blowing. I mean, if it's 40 mile an hour, it's,
oh.
I mean, it's just.
There's tough. Nothing stopping that wind up there. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
No. So it can be an hour up, hour down, depending on weather. If it's wet, then we have to drag it back in that shed and try to hang it up and dry it, put fans on it and stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And but doing that, there's seams that are old and worn
mm-hmm.
That eventually could be repair or replacement. So mm-hmm. hopefully that would just eventually take care of itself.
Mm-hmm.
Kind of revolving.
Oh.
I'm in favor of increasing that. You throw out two different price points, 200 or 250.
I didn't care. I just wanted it to try to help.
Yeah.
If I called someone in, it would help offset their mm-hmm. their cost to the city for wages.
You have to have someone help you set that up.
A lot of times, yes. If the wind's blowing, it's pretty impossible to do on your own. It's like a big parachute.
Oh, yeah. Oh.
And so we tie it down to the ground before you stand it up, and it definitely needs more mm-hmm. hands than mine.
Okay.
At times.
So could we just approve the tent?
Thank you.
Is that what what you folks want to do.
Yeah.
Somebody would like to make a motion?
Well, we should agree on the price before we
move. Okay. So it's $100 now.
It's $100 even, yes, ma'am.
Do we, and we don't know what other places charge. I mean, I remember when Nick brought all that in
to you, and we,
yeah, that was about a year ago.
Yes. Some places charge, we kind of are in the middle of the road. Some mm-hmm. places, I mean, each cemetery is different up to mm-hmm. their municipality, and not, those are the only ones I was comparing to.
Mm-hmm.
I would make a motion to raise the tent rent to $200 per service.
I second that.
Okay.
Thank you, Diamond.
Thank you for that, Diamond. All right. All those in favor of that motion, say aye.
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 Opposed, same sign. Okay.
Thank
so,
you.
So then you will visit with the funeral directors yep. and kind of test them out on this other
yeah,
other
absolutely.
Thing and see what we come up with. And
I will get with Deanna, and we can mm-hmm. probably set a meeting here and just pull them in to City okay. Hall and sit and visit.
Okay.
Okay.
Very good.
Thank you very much.
Thanks for being here.
Thank you.
All right. Next, number two on the agenda, resolution approving a memorandum of understanding between DNR and our fire department. Let's see. Is Brandon? No.
So it's nope. basically just
the grant
process to what for we have to do to get the money for the for fire helmets.
Mm-hmm.
I'll make a motion that we accept this award and grant.
Approve the resolution.
And approve the resolution.
Second that.
Okay, thanks. Elaine and Isla. And Amanda, call the roll, please.
Yes.
Yes.
Yes. Sorry. Ivan.
Yes.
Sire?
Yes.
Douglas?
Yes. Okay. Great. Next is the resolution to assess collection of costs to the county treasurer.
Make a motion that we go ahead and assess the levy to the treasurer for collection.
Okay, thank you, Elaine. Second from Fran. And again, it's a resolution. Call the roll, please.
Yes.
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 Ringo?
Yes.
Sorry.
Yes.
Yes. Okay. Number four, discussion and consideration of a resolution approving the Emergency Community Catalyst and Remediation Grant Agreement for 217 West Main Street. This
is just a formality, is that correct?
In
that there are opportunity to take advantage of this, is that right?
And as the funds come through the city.
Right, right. We're just the pass-through.
Yeah.
Okay, I'll make a motion that we accept this resolution for 217 West Main.
Okay.
Bethany.
Thank you. Thank you, Bethany. Again, a resolution. So call the roll, please, Amanda.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
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 Ivan.
Ivan.
Yes.
Yes.
Yes. Okay. Next is change order number three to Cornerstone for the Washington Water Main improvements. Increase of $11,000.
Can we have a little bit of an explanation on this, a little more?
So the biggest part of this change order was at the intersection of F and West Madison. The existing water main was encased in concrete. It actually looked like they had extra concrete and they just dumped it in the old main. So we needed to replace that, get that all out of there, and put the new main in. And it was more of a hassle than just removing the old pipe. It was getting all that concrete. And so that was the majority of this change order.
Okay. All right.
I'll make a motion to approve change order number 3.
Thank you, Bethany.
Second.
Thank you, Fran. It's not a resolution, so a voice vote. So all those in favor say aye.
Aye. Aye.
Of those opposed, same sign. Okay. Number 6, this is application number 6 to Cornerstone Excavating for the Washington Water Main Improvements. $469,000.
Motion to approve the pay application to Cornerstone.
Second. Okay, thanks, Lila. Was that a second, Fran?
Yes.
All right, second by Fran.
Sorry.
All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. And opposed, same sign. Number 7, first reading of an ordinance amending the code of ordinances to the city of Washington, incorporating a new chapter regarding cross connection controls. I believe we have some folks here to enlighten us about this.
Good evening, everyone. My name is John Lenz. I'm the training specialist for Iowa Rural Water, funded by EPA. So all the services that we provide to communities under 10,000 are no cost. So I retired from Des Moines Waterworks last year, and so it's usually somebody like me that's been in the business for a while. We go around the state and we assist communities with everything from leak detection. And what I did for 30 years was help communities, especially Des Moines, where I was at, reduce liabilities. And so one of the liabilities that we have with the water system is backflow incidents that can occur in water main breaks, and we can backflow things into our distribution system. Plumbing codes typically will address some of that, but we find that plumbing codes are not followed. And so we come up with a cross-connection control program, which is recommended by the EPA. So I'm currently helping like Williamsburg, Riverside, Wilming, Grinnell, a bunch of cities in Southeast Iowa with amending their codes. When I talked to an EPA person yesterday, he said their expectation is that cities of any size, small or large, have a program to prevent the potential contamination of the water system. So what that means is that we just require somebody, let's say a car wash, an egg supply, anybody that uses chemicals or has boilers or things that you don't want to drink that stuff, or lawn irrigation, a golf course that's mixing chemicals in a tank. We don't want that water to be able to go backwards into our distribution system. And so we require that a backflow preventer be installed at the water meter. So that way, regardless of what they do in their property, whatever they change, we're going to have protection. And our customers are expecting that we do that. And so since the plumbing code is not followed, cities then do what's called a containment program. That means we require the installation of a backflow preventer at the water meter. So the cost of that is borne by the customer that has created the hazard. So they've got the processes, whether it's a manufacturing facility or whatever, that could potentially cause harm. They're the ones that pay for the installation. And then we have a cloud-based computer program where we put all that information in and then send them an annual notice and require that we test it annually. And these days we're able to do that at no cost to the city, because the way these cloud-based management programs work is it takes all the data, the customer information, the device information, and all those things. It sends the notice to the customer. It says it's time to test your backflow preventer. It's time for your annual test. And then when it's tested, the tester goes onto that website and enters the data, which in the past they would send us a form, which would just get thrown in a drawer. We're not really sending notices or doing anything. But now we send the notice. When the test is entered, then they charge that tester $10. So the customer ends up, again, bearing their responsibility for the cost. So what we do when the EPA says, you must have a program like this, and the DNR says the same thing, We're just passing the liability down to the customer that's presenting the potential hazard. But right now, the city has that liability, and the customer has the liability because insurance policies will not cover because of a pollution exclusion clause. If we would have a water main break, and we would pull the water out of this boiler back into our water main, and somebody gets sick or is injured, then those can be, you know, millions of dollars in damage. One I saw recently was, you know, $6 million. An asphalt plant did not have a backflow preventer. They had a water main break. It pulls an emulsifier back into the water main. It was a multi-year lawsuit. And so backflow prevention is cheap insurance for the customer and for the city. And we're able to do it. You know, when Kyle came to me, when he learned that, you know, I was going around helping cities do this, we're able to do it at no cost. I come and help them do it. I set up programs, help them with inspections, the whole thing. So once it's all done and we have all the customers have complied, then we have backflow prevention. The days in there, we're sending annual notices. All that a staff person needs to do once a month is just like we do with water bills. When the bill's not paid, I'm not sure what your process is with terminating them or telling them we're going to turn them off if they don't pay the bill. Same thing with backflow prevention. We have a backflow preventer. Must be tested. If it's not, then we check the report once a month to see who has not done it. And then it's call them, hang a card, or whatever the process. Mm. That's basically what we do, but it requires that if you take a look at my ordinance, there's just we try and cover every cross, every thing, and dot every I as to whose responsibility is what, when they do it, how they do it, and that's why I'm here. Well, like I said, I'm helping all the communities in Southeast Iowa right now, and Thursday I go to Southwest Iowa, so I travel the state just helping implement ordinance, because it's kind of an area that's unique that a lot of water operators aren't familiar with, and a lot of city code enforcement people aren't familiar with, and so I'm able to assist in that. Questions?
Do they have a deadline with which to install this equipment?
Yes. So let's say, for example, we go to a property, and what I do is we go in and say, we need to check your meter setting. So we go to the meter setting, which is where the backflow preventer would be. And there should be a backflow preventer there, right? Let's say it's a car wash. Should be a backflow preventer, but there's not. Okay. So then what we do is we typically give them 30 days to install it. And they may need a little more time, but we have to be, you know, pretty stringent on what we require. And a lot of times somebody will say, you know, I've been here for 30 years doing business, and now you come to me and you say, you know, I got to do this. Why the hurry now? The hurry now is because now I have knowledge, and attorneys will tell you, if you have knowledge, you have responsibility. Mm-hmm. So I have knowledge that I fully assume that you did have one because of the type of business that you have, but you don't. So you have 30 days to put it in. And, you know, as I've done this for over 30 years, if somebody says, well, can you give me more time? I always say, okay, well, what do you think is reasonable? You know, and more times than not, they'll come back and they'll say, can you give me 60 days? No problem. I can't give you 6 months, but we try and be reasonable. Mm-hmm. And the other thing, we deal with older properties that maybe have unique installation situations, because there's a lot of stuff in this closet. We got to get it here. So that's where my experience comes in. I've done hundreds and hundreds of inspections and advice on how to install them, where to install them. Mm-hmm. And so that's another thing that, you know, a lot of people aren't experienced with. So we can, you know, our goal is to protect the public water supply and do it in the most reasonable manner for them and for us.
Mm-hmm. How much would a system cost? I mean, I suppose it's according to the size of
exactly
the water use.
So a typical 3/4-inch backflow preventer to get installed, probably around $1,200 to $1,500. So and you know,
the price is cheap insurance for
it's very good. It's very cheap insurance. I mean, look at what the potential is if something would occur. Mm-hmm.
Do we think that some places have them already?
Oh yes, yeah. I would say probably your schools do, your hospitals do.
Okay.
In fact, they've got test forms that, you know, they get submitted from some of the places that are already here.
Okay.
So probably 70% might already have them. All of your fire systems would already have them. So any fire suppression system where you've got sprinkler heads, if it's a newer installation, they'll already have them. We don't do anything with older fire suppression systems because fire suppression systems were designed when they were put in to operate under X amount of pressure. And if we required something, then now we're taking on liability if they didn't have enough water pressure. So we don't do anything with old fire suppression systems. Those are considered a low hazard. But anything that would make you sick or kill you would be considered a high hazard. If you don't want to drink it, if it's boiler water or if it's chemicals from the, you look in the back of the cases where they have the jugs of chemicals where they're mixing stuff for the sinks and for the floors. If those are directly connected to the water, which they are a lot, and they're done incorrectly, we don't want to drink that. And so that's why we need water.
And this is already part of the plumbing code. You're just saying that's not always carefully followed. And so we want to have some city code.
Exactly. So here's the thing. The plumbing code governs what goes on inside of buildings. So that governs what how you do the plumbing inside the building. But as water purveyors, we are responsible for the quality of the water in our distribution system. EPA comes up with the requirements for here's what your water quality should be in your distribution system. And that's why they require that we require a backflow preventer at the meter so we can control what's out here. What they do in their building. Because a lot of customers will say, you know, I've got backflow preventers on this, I've got them on that, you know, the rent bumpers, and whoever they've got, I've got all these things. And that's great. But if somebody new comes in or you change equipment or you change processes, we don't have any control over that. The same would be for, let's say, a strip mall. So if you have a strip mall that has three tenants, it's served by one water meter, that's considered a high hazard. Even if there's three accountants in there right now and an attorney, well, that would be a high hazard.
Yeah, that's true.
So they're really not a hazard, right? They just got bath. They just got bathrooms, but they're served by one meter. But we have no idea who they're going to rent to next. So let's say a dental office. We have no knowledge of that. And so now we have a high hazard, you know, customer in there. And we don't have none. So we would require a backflow in a situation where one meter serves multiple tenants. Residential properties it doesn't really impact them much, but they would have a lawn irrigation system. Hopefully it would already have a backflow preventer. If they have a boiler, hopefully it would have the correct type of backflow preventer. Sometimes they don't. Sometimes they don't have anything. But those residential customers, they don't want their kids to drink the boiler water anyway. So when we educate someone and help them understand what the risk is and why we're doing this, it's not an issue. I don't know if there's an ag co-op in town that fills sprayers for agriculture. That's one of the scariest things when you go into one of those places and they got these huge tanks full of chemicals and they're sticking hoses in tanks and filling ag sprayers that are going out in the fields. You know, a lot of them already have backflow preventers. Why? Because they understand liability. You know, and the ones that don't, I've been to small towns and helped them out. And I find the guy in charge and I explain, here's what you need. No problem. They have it done in a week because they now have knowledge and they understand it. I was in Grinnell the other day talking to the city manager about the same thing. I'm helping them. And when I explained how, you know, when you stick a hose in a tank and if we would have a water main break while that hose is in that tank, we're going to pull all those farm chemicals back out. And he says, you know, I'm a farmer. And I've done that for years, but I didn't realize it, so I'll never do it again. So part of it is education of customers, and that's another thing that we provide is I create brochures, and you've got my FAQ, which answers a lot of those questions that customers have. So those are things that you can put on your website, so people can understand, you know, why we're doing what we're doing.
Mm-hmm.
Sure.
All
right. We get an inspection from an ER every 2 years. And this was something on our distribution side that was a recommendation to have by the DNR in our last inspection.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Yeah.
Again, DNR is passing the liability to the city. If something happened, DNR is able to say, we told you should have done something.
Mm-hmm. And a lot of businesses that operate in more than one city are already doing this in their other cities. So it's not the Casey's example. They do it in bigger cities all the time.
Yeah. And we'll find the Casey's in the small towns that don't have them. And once you tell them, you tell corporate, and you're like, okay.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't see the FAQs. Did you get those?
It's on your desk when you arrived. It was the updated
part. It was that.
Oh.
It's like a blue.
The extra.
Yeah, the extra.
Extra. I don't.
You can add mine if you.
I don't think I
cross connection. It looks like this. It's like this.
This is an ordinance. This is a resolution.
It should be in the back of the ordinance.
Oh, back of the ordinance. Okay, thank you.
I'm trying to answer all the questions.
You don't have the... Okay, yeah. Thank you. I have just a couple more quick questions. So who would be doing the inspection? Is that Iowa Rural Water?
No. Okay. No, so the customer then hires a plumber that's a backflow tester to come and do the annual test. And so
that's the testing, but what about like this initial check if they even have?
Oh, yes. I'd help them with that.
Okay.
Yep, so... Kyle,
it's not more work for our city employees.
No,
okay.
They'll be involved because they want to be involved. They want to know who's what's where, but that's why I'm here, is to help them do inspections. And you know, a lot of this it doesn't require physically going to some of these. Some of them it does, most of them we know who they are. I know where the car wash is. I know where the camera home is. I know where all these places are.
Mm-hmm.
They better have it.
Mm-hmm.
And so, then the
do they know that? I mean, everybody is expecting this to happen, or is this going to be a shock for some?
It'll be a shock for some, but some of them, you know, what I would get in the city would be like, yeah, I knew you were going to get to me someday, because they would talk amongst themselves, you know, in that industry, and they're just waiting. It's like, it's really not a good plan when you consider it's cheap insurance to wait for somebody to catch you who's not having what you should have. It's really not a good idea.
And then the language of this ordinance, I assume, is all standard language that almost all cities.
Yes, it's standard ordinance language that was, so I borrowed this from my previous employer, Des Moines Water Works, and then I have edited it and changed to adapt to whatever city I'm at. And because there's things that I had in my ordinance there that were different than what I did here, but that's standard ordinance language. If you look, and I brought this, I'll just give each of you a copy of this. This is an EPA manual that they give to water utilities to kind of help them do what I'm doing for them. And it has this, you know, some of the language in there.
I just adapted it as the ordinance to meet like superintendent or whatever.
Yeah.
So do you have these in your other cities? Have you?
I've had the one in Coralville for 15 years.
Okay.
So it's standard. Like I said, it's standard for businesses that have multiple locations. And we don't have any issue whatsoever.
Okay.
Yeah.
In the interest of further protecting our citizens from all peril, I make a motion that we approve the first reading of this ordinance, which will protect our citizens from places that are not yet willing to put in the back wall.
Or don't know. Some just don't know.
Hmm.
Yeah. Second.
Okay. Got a motion and a second. And Amanda, would you call the roll?
Sure. Rangel?
Yes.
Eggers?
Yes.
Youngquist?
Yes.
Moore?
Yes.
Winton?
Yes.
Ernest?
Yes.
Okay.
Thank you. I'll leave those with you. I'm sorry I don't have enough for everybody, but I can get more.
Okay.
It's a good read just from a general perspective to kind of understand. There's some historical cases in there that will scare you, will help you understand. It's like, okay.
I did have a problem. Who does the annual inspection? Would that be Kyle?
Nope, that would be a plumber or somebody that's
an outside person.
Yep, so some plumbers are backflow testers, so they have to be registered by the state of Iowa to test those.
Okay.
And you currently already have those people, the fire, different fire companies that test that flow for management. They currently come to town and do it.
Okay.
So that's who the customer would hire. What we're going to do on an annual basis, using this cloud-based software, is send them an annual notice. You must test.
Mm-hmm.
And then the second notice, you must test.
Mm-hmm.
And then if they don't, then that's when we do whatever your termination policy, the same as you would do with not paying the bill.
Okay. All right.
Thank you.
All right. Thank you for being
thank
here.
You.
Okay. Next is the discussion consideration of a resolution setting the public hearing for fiscal year 24 budget amendment number one. Kelsey.
So hopefully you all had a chance to review these. Per usual, our first budget amendment in the fall is usually to catch up on some capital projects that were carried over from the previous year. And then that's that first part, basically. And then the bottom part is things that we weren't really expecting, like sending another officer to the academy. So those are those first couple of expenses. The rescue boat was a pass through grant that the fire department got. So we're just giving them $17,000 or we did get spending for that. The DNR grants that you guys approved for fire last year, this year. One of the large ones is the cemetery. So when the budget was originally worked on, we had two full-time people in the budget. As we worked through it, we discovered that that was not going to happen with, there just wasn't funding for that. So we did take out the second person, but we didn't add, you know, wages back in. So that's what that, that is, that's the wages, the bike and divers. The library gift fund, many of you are aware of Makerspace happening, and that's all being paid on the library gift. So there are a lot of changes due to that. And a couple things with the water and sewer fund. The water fund, we have that 12.5 pump go out like at the beginning of the year. And we certainly weren't planning on that, so I amended for that. And then the nutrient reduction study wasn't budgeted for, and we're, you know, it's something that we had to do. So I amended for that as well. But if anybody has any other questions, I'd be happy to. Or next time, whatever.
All right. Anybody have any questions?
I'll make the motion to, what are we doing? We're setting the public hearing, right? For December 9th.
Second. All right, so let's go to Mary Lane. And this is a resolution, so will you call the roll?
Bingo?
Yes.
Tigers?
Yes.
Grimquist?
Yes.
Moore?
Yes.
Linsman?
Yes.
Ernest?
Yes.
Okay, thank you. On number 9 on the agenda now, naming city personnel authorized to access financial accounts and conduct banking activities on behalf of the city.
Make a motion that we approve this resolution naming 3.
Okay.
Second.
All right. Thanks, Elaine and Isla. And again, will you call the roll, please?
Ringo?
Yes.
Tiger?
Yes.
Grimquist?
Yes.
Moore?
Yes.
Yes.
Yeah.
Okay. Number 10, resolution authorizing levy assessment and collection of costs to the county treasurer.
Yes. Make motion we approve this resolution authorizing levy and assessment and collection of the costs of the Washington County Treasurer.
All right. Thank you.
Second.
And thank you. This is a resolution. Call the roll, please.
All right. Here we go.
Yes.
Tigers?
Yes.
Grimquist?
Yes.
Moore?
Yes.
Wilson?
Yes.
Ernest?
Yes.
Okay. Number 11, discussion consideration of a resolution accepting the Adams Street reconstruction project as completed.
Now I have a question because we had just a lot of, before we call it complete, we had a lot of weed stuff and people not quite happy. Has that all of those been taken care of with the Adams Street?
What we'll do is we'll wait till spring, we'll reassess. And it's right in the acceptance statement by the engineer that if there's any deficient areas in the spring, they will have to come back and take care of it.
Mm-hmm. And I did notice, because I go walk that street a lot, that the grass was coming up. I couldn't believe it because I felt like it was not getting any rain or any watering, but grass was coming up as far as, you know, late in the fall. Okay. What are your, do I have a motion or a second?
Second.
I'll make the motion.
Okay.
Made the motion.
Elaine, thank you. And we'll give that to Fran, the second. Fran, it's a resolution, so please call the roll.
Here we go.
Yes.
Tigers?
Yes.
Grimquist?
Yes.
Moore?
Yes.
Grimquist?
Yes.
Ernest?
Yes.
All right. Number 12, the discussion consideration of payment number 8, the final one for the Adams Street reconstruction, the cornerstone excavated. $74,000.
Make a motion to approve the payment of the rate final for Adams Street.
Fran, is that a second?
Yeah, second.
I know, it is a nice street. I enjoy it a lot. So, again, this is a simple voice vote. So, all those in favor, say aye.
Aye.
Opposed, same sign? Okay. The ayes have it. Okay. Next page, we have old business. And are we ready to untable this?
Motion to untable the resolution approving and authorizing execution of a development agreement by and between the City of Washington and Washington Hotel Group, LLC.
Thank you, Isla. Okay. All right. We got several seconds, but I'll give this one to Ivan. Thank you, Ivan. It's a resolution, so we call the roll, please.
Ernest?
Yes.
Ivan?
This is for untable. Yes. Four. Yes. 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 Okay. I know we've all been looking at this a lot and been hearing from people. And is there any new information to be had about Andy? Glad you're here. I don't know if we'll come up with any more, have any more questions, or what are your thoughts? Any questions?
I would be remiss in not acknowledging some of the people that have had some concerns about the amount. And so In being in their respect to their thought process, and I am going to make a motion that we make the instead of 1.5 million, 1.2 million. I'm taking into consideration the people that had their concerns at the amount. And so I make the motion that we make it for 1.2 million and then the 300,000 would go back to the hotel group. And this is in consideration to the people that had voiced their concerns to me about the amount. I'm just throwing it out there. I'm making it. A motion.
I will second it.
Okay. So the motion has been made and seconded to amend the agreement to that the amount would be $1,200,000 that we would rebate to them. Is that clear? Okay. All those.
No. It'll be a resolution.
Oh, it's a resolution. Mm-hmm. Okay. All right, so resolution, call the roll.
So just want to make sure we're okay. So we're approving the agreement with 1.2 million, correct? I just want to make
that's,
sure
that's what we're okay. Okay,
I just want to make
and
sure
we're, a proposal.
Is that
proposal.
What they were asking for?
No, they were asking for
1.5.
Yeah,
that's what I thought.
No, okay. We still need to work out the 100%.
Yeah, well, that's
yeah, well, we can do that.
So let me add, so if we do the we'll amend the resolution to say 1.2 first, and then if we have any other amendments, we can do those separately. Mm-hmm. See what I, that's why I wanted to make sure it wasn't the final
We're voting to amend
the resolution to say 1.2 million instead of 1.5 million.
Why 1.2?
It is a compromise because people I was voted by the people at large of this city.
Right.
And I have had a lot of people that say that's a lot. That's more than they think it should be. And out of respect for them, I mean, I am doing my job as a city council person and listening to what they have to say. I have looked at this and I am 100% for for the hotel, 100% for the hotel. And the people that came to me, they are as well. They just feel the 1.5 is a lot. And so it's neither here nor there. This is business. This is not personal. This is business. Business is business. Personal is personal.
Right.
And I am their voice. I am voicing that.
Yeah.
It's up to you all to vote. You vote your conscience. We walk out of here. I've done my job. You've done your job. And it's okay. I'm throwing a compromise out there as I'm supposed to do.
Okay.
So this is business, personal is personal, and it's always split. Always.
I call the question.
Are we going to lose and deal with 1.2?
Okay.
Well,
so we're voting to amend the agreement to 1.2 million.
So you'd have to have 4 votes to make that amendment valid. Because you'd have 3-3, it would not pass.
Right.
And the mayor can't break a tie on a,
right.
on a motion anyways.
But I can still vote.
You still vote because you're a council member.
Right.
Yeah.
Not a real mayor.
Yeah. I didn't say that.
Well, substitute.
I'm just saying you are the substitute mayor, yeah. But you still can't break a tie with a motion.
Right. Okay. So Amanda, would you call the roll?
Bruce?
No.
Woodsman?
Yes.
Moore?
Yes.
Steggers?
No.
Bring out?
No.
No.
So that amendment fails. Do you have any other amendments to the agreement that want to be heard at this point?
I think the question's still open if we're doing 100% or if we're doing 150,000.
Yes.
And so the memo says we'll have 20,000 left over, which can't happen if you're doing it at 100%. So.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. And I did some calculations today, and I would recommend that we do, if we do the 1.5, if that ends up passing, I would recommend that we do the 150,000 annually instead of 100% tax rebate, because the city will end up with more money at the end of 10 years doing it that way.
Mm-hmm.
That makes sense to me.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
So then we would need to change the...
Yeah, I'll have to go in and update the agreement, update the resolution with those numbers, mm-hmm. stating that it's the 150,000 yearly instead of 100%.
And it's up to 150,000 just in case the...
Right, right.
Yep. What if,
and up to 1.5 million
so
as, or whatever as
I'm
a total.
I'm just thinking out loud here. So it would be... the greater of the incremental taxes or 150,000, correct?
Yes.
So in case it's lower for some reason.
Get that. Right.
So it's either.
It'd be the lesser of those two, right?
Yes.
Yeah. So if they only paid 130,000 incremental taxes, they would only get 130,000. Yeah.
Right.
But if they paid 100, yeah, the lesser of the two.
Lesser of the two.
Mm-hmm. Uh-huh. Okay.
So do we need to make a motion to change the resolution?
Yes.
That
yes. Just like you did last time. Yes.
And it's not voting on the resolution.
It's not voting on the resolution. Yes.
Okay.
I'll make the motion to amend the resolution to be the lesser of
the incremental taxes collected or 150,000.
Yeah.
Second.
Okay.
Second.
Okay. We got a motion in a second.
Do you want to open the legal that, please?
Thank you. So we are voting now.
How much does that change? What's the change then?
So
I don't know. I don't. If it's less, I'm not sure what that will be. I figured it on the 150,000.
So with the 100%, it would have been what?
If it was 100% at the end of 10 years, we would have only had almost 116,000. With doing it where we do the 150,000 annually, we would keep that 20,000 plus, and we would have, you know, $206,000 at the end of 10 years,
mm-hmm.
because we'd keep that 20,000.
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, that number might go down depending on if the calculations, it's less than 150,000. Like you said, if it's only 130,000, then, mm-hmm. you know, it might be less.
So this scenario aligns with your memo.
Yes.
But not with the language in the
resolution. Right.
Or the agreement.
Because they had it at 100%.
Okay. Okay. So now we are voting on.
It's the lesser of the incremental tax value collected or $150,000.
Okay.
Basically, we're taking the full 10 years to pay back the $1.5 million instead of maybe we would have paid it in 8.5
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yes.
Right. Okay. All right. Yeah. Okay. And again, is this is a resolution?
Well, it's a vote on the amendment. So still do a roll call on the amendment. Then we'll. After whether this passed or not, then we can vote on the resolution.
Okay. So again, so that Amanda will call the roll.
All right. Curtis.
So we're making it go 10 years before they get paid back.
Yes. It'll take the full 10 years.
Otherwise, they could have been paid off sooner.
Well, it's not really that much different. It would be 8 full years. Part of the night and only half of the ninth year. So I mean, it's only a year and a half.
You just earlier. Don't, we just don't know what the.
But we don't know what the number
do with taxes right. either.
That's why we get the $20,000 extra each right. year.
We get a portion of it.
Okay. Right.
Yes.
Okay.
Linsman?
Yes.
Moore?
Yes.
Ringo?
Yes.
Riggers?
Yes.
Riggers?
Yes. Okay.
No. So are there any other amendments that want to be introduced? If not, do we have a motion on the actual resolution now? Or do we need a motion in the
we
second?
We need a motion on the resolution.
Okay. Mm-hmm. So, okay. Yeah. So
okay. The actual resolution.
The actual resolution right. approving it. With right. the with the change, you just
approved. Right, approve. With that vote. Right.
We'll make a motion to approve the resolution as amended to authorize the development agreement with the city and the Russian Hotel Group LLC.
Could we, are we going to mention the amount in there? So that's clear.
Well, it's still 1.5. The maximum is still 1.5 no matter what.
Okay.
Yeah, thank you.
Okay. Whoa.
That's in the resolution already.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah, so the 1.5 is still the maximum.
Okay.
Yep.
All right. So we have a motion and a second on that. Okay, Amanda, call the roll.
All right, Curtis.
I'm sorry, first?
Yes.
Linsman?
Yes.
Moore?
Yes.
Ringo?
Yes.
Eggers?
Yes.
Yes. All right. Anything else we need to do? What's up? Right. Well, that concludes our business. We'll have a once around and have some reports from departments. Chief. You're over there.
Okay. As you saw in the email I sent in the last week, we partnered with emergency management and set up the opt-in text message alert system for the downtown area on parking. As of this afternoon, 28 people have opted in for those alerts, so that will be beneficial. And I can see using that for other types of events and emergencies. Mm-hmm. Within the city as well. So I think that will be a valuable tool for us to have in the future. We replaced a radiator in one of the Durangos last week. So we continue to nickel and dime us. I did talk with the dealer. The two new Fords are being built. So, and they had some delivered last night. So there's light at the end of that tunnel. I'm getting rid of those things. The Light of the Holiday Parade was uneventful. Fire department helped us out with traffic control. That went well. The officers are following up on some investigations, staying busy with that. And Officer Frazee will graduate from the academy next Friday, the 15th. And he'll come back that following week and start about 6 weeks of field training. I think city administrator was going to put an email out for anyone that wanted to attend that.
That's all I have. Great, thank you. Kelsey, Amanda, have anything? Okay, Kevin?
Just following up on nuisance, we do have three municipal infraction citations filed with court on nuisances. So those are coming up in December and January.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Deanna?
I really don't have anything. We did, though, file paperwork on a property that has been a problem close to this building. So that has been sent out, and that includes a municipal citation and other things to get that property taken care of.
I have my own file on that address. Numerous different things over the years.
Oh, okay. All right, let's switch it up and go over to Bethany's side.
Thanks to Chief Lester for setting up the technical. I think that would be, as you said, a useful system for a city to use for multiple things. Later this week, we're going to have a workshop on the handicap parking situation downtown. Mm-hmm. So look forward to that discussion. That's all I have.
Okay. Thanks, Stephanie.
I guess I don't have anything specific. There's some nuisances out there that keep popping up when you drive by and you think, oh, wow, I missed that one before. So we're slowly getting some of those taken care of. That's good. Thanks everybody for working with the hotel motel and getting that going. I think that's an exciting project, and I look for the day where we can all meet in the bar and have a celebratory beverage.
Yeah, nice. Well, Deanna and I ordered the wayfinding signs and the Welcome to Washington signs, which will be put up next spring. So that's also a thanks to the Riverboat Foundation for funding for that project. I did get a strange complaint from a resident. It was just a block from my house. He said that there was a bad smell that wakes him up in the middle of the night. He thinks it's coming from Brava, but I've asked around and we're now investigating it with a nuisance committee, but very kind of different. So anyway, that's about all that I've got on my mind.
Ivan,
you can go next. Thank you for reminding.
You guys forgot about me.
I'm sorry.
I just want to say I'm excited for the new hotel, and I've heard a lot of positive feedback around my neighborhood, you know, with family over the holidays and getting a place to stay. So I just say I'm excited and thank you all for voting yes.
Thank you, Ivan. Fran, you can close us out.
I will do that. I have nothing new other than still wearing a boot. And I'll be in the boot at our next meeting. And on that, I'd like to adjourn.
All right. And that was a second. All those in favor, say aye.
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 Can you tell I'm tired?
Okay, so
109 days in this
call. I mean,
109.
Oh, my daughter,
and it's still broke.
Not healing.
So
not coming together.
So what are they going to do now? Just keep you in it? Just keep you in it for longer?
Till the 28th of December, then we're going to go from there. If it's not fixed, then I'm going to tell them I'm taking the boot off, and but if I so break it more, we'll just go in and fix it.
What about?
I got baseball starting in March.
Well, I hope you're healed up by then. Surely.
So the the calcium's growing. It's just not touching. It's still at the break. I got to get it to jump across.
No, it feels like two or after.
And the doctor probably said, well, you know, you are getting older.
What do you think? Thank you for reminding me.
I tried to keep it going. I really did.
Thank you all very much.
Yeah.
So, thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Yep. Go ahead.